Hello and welcome to Unquestionably Nerdy, the show where we talk about everything that makes us want to geek out, freak out, and argue about who has the biggest wand. I am one of your hosts, Cadden MacArthur, and whom am I joined by?
Well, of course, you're joined by your Cullen commentator who happens to know nothing about what we're doing, Cole Browning.
And that's just how I like you.
So, Cadden, I have a guess. Do we have something to do with magic today?
We do indeed. We do have much to discuss on the subject of the arcane. And on that note, Cole, allow me to ask you, have you ever considered what good we could do with this show? The knowledge that we can spread, the awareness that we can create, the ancient tomes we can delve into and spread to the masses?
Not at all. I've really just thought about everything that we can just bullshit with.
Oh, good, good.
But, I guess you have some grand scheme, so what do you want to do?
Oh, well, my schemes are ultimately secret, but you do know of some individuals in popular fiction and nonfiction who have considered these ancient arts and these arcane secrets and use it to either help or hinder those around them. And I can see of no better use of our time and our immense influence with this podcast than to pit those individuals together in a death match.
Oh, wonderful.
Yes. Today, Cole, and our loving audience, and Joe Rogan, we are considering the question of who would win in a fight. A fight to the death. The magical death, hopefully. And today we are pitting together several wizards. Wizards, sorcerers, magicians, and the like from fiction and nonfiction. And by that I mean we have one nonfiction character.
I really can't wait to hear who the nonfiction character is. I was going to say, if it's not Houdini or David Copperfield, wait, is David Copperfield nonfiction?
Debatably fictional, yes.
Yeah, debatably fictional. But all right, I'll run with this. So who we got first?
Well, that strikes the question, doesn't it? Cole, when I say the word wizard to you, what comes to mind? The general picture of a wizard, disregarding the specific examples, what image comes to your mind? What concepts come to mind?
I really imagine lightning coming from their hands, almost like a Jedi. But I imagine them having like a very pointy hat with stars on it.
Yes.
My definition of a wizard is pointy hat man with lightning.
Well, I'm sure many would agree with you, and there are, of course, many definitions of these unknowable individuals, but despite that unknowable nature, I have strove to find some more specific definitions of what a wizard actually is, and that way we can better pit them against each other in a deathmatch. Google tells me that a wizard is a man who has magical power, especially in legends and fairy tales. The Merriam-Webster, I can talk, defines a wizard as one skilled in magic, or a very clever or skillful person, or simply a wise man. Cambridge Dictionary defines them as a man who is believed to have magical powers and uses them to harm or help other people. And finally, someone who is an expert at something or who has great ability in a particular subject. And my favorite two definitions, dictionary.com, of course, defines them as a person who practices magic as a magician or a sorcerer, or alternatively, a conjurer or juggler. Have you ever considered juggling a magical art, Cole?
I really haven't, but I mean, I'm open to anything now, especially if we can throw some of those people in these death matches.
Ooh, interesting. Just a bunch of circus clowns.
No, I mean, really, I feel like there is some magic involved in getting circus clowns into that car.
You're not incorrect, yeah.
Yeah, they're using that power for good to make us laugh, but if they fit any more people in that car, it would automatically turn to evil. Everyone would be cringing.
Yeah, I can see that argument, yes. But I think this gives us a pretty good understanding, baseline understanding of what exactly a wizard is. Fairly sexist, I notice. They all define them as a man.
I mean, please tell me our deathmatch crew is definitely a bit more representative. Because I definitely think we need some witches in there.
True. It's not as much of a sausage fest, yes.
All right. Well, can't wait to argue the first one. So, who's up first?
Well, the first of our matchup is a classic pairing. We'll spend some time discussing their strengths, perhaps weaknesses, if we know of them, and finally decide who moves on to the next round. And that first matchup is going to be Merlin, the right-hand man of one King Arthur of Camelot, versus Gandalf, traveling wizard of Middle-earth and technical angel?
This is a tough one. I really wish these guys weren't starting off our death matches. I think they make it pretty far.
Right. I thought we could start out with a bang.
Okay. So...
So, Cole, what do you know about both Merlin and Gandalf?
All right, with Gandalf, of course I know Gandalf from Lord of the Rings.
Mm-hmm.
He's most known for falling down the pit with a demon
mm-hmm.
and then having a crazy sword fight with it.
True.
Two movies later. I definitely know that he was Gandalf the Grey first, returned as Gandalf the White. I'm not sure what kind of upgrade that gave him. And if I'm right, he has the coolest horse to just ever exist in Middle-earth, whose name is, what, Shadowfax?
Shadowfax, correct.
Yeah, so that horse gets some points.
That is fair, yeah. We do have Gandalf. I notice now, I didn't even notice this while thinking about it, we kind of have opposite ends of the spectrum in terms of celestial bodies, considering Gandalf, as we mentioned, you may not be aware of this, Gandalf is one of these individuals, I believe, called the Maiar. And the Maiar are essentially angels that sort of grow in power with age. And so you'll see similar individuals also considered Maiar with the other wizards like Saruman, and even individuals like Sauron, the big bad of the Lord of the Rings.
All right.
And they're essentially godsent individuals given a purpose by the higher powers of Middle-earth.
Okay. So basically Middle-earth angel, got it. And then...
And on the opposite end of the spectrum from these angel-esque individuals, we have Merlin, who is going to be a bit of a, I suppose, a bit of a blank slate, but also a page full of information that we can grasp and pull from, considering in many stories of Merlin, he is actually an attempted antichrist.
Wait, attempted antichrist?
Correct.
All right. That makes Merlin 1,000 times cooler.
In some of Merlin's original stories, and in many of the Arthurian legends, it's said that Merlin's father was actually an incubus who seduced a virgin, and once the virgin was impregnated, the virgin then gave birth and immediately had their baby baptized by a priest in order to drive out the demonic influence.
All right. I think that's like the most metal backstory that I could have ever imagined for Merlin.
Very much so.
I definitely thought Merlin was like the traditional D&D wizard of, I read a lot of books and then I learned magic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he does kind of have that, figure, doesn't he? Where he's just the, you know, long blue robes and pointed hat, like you said.
Well, I mean, both of them have long robes and the pointed hat. So from fashion, I think Merlin has the upper edge in terms of fashion that could give him an upper edge in this fight. Because, man, I would be distracted mm-hmm. looking at just how fine Merlin's wizard get out is. Like, Gandalf's just in rags.
Well, that is true. If this is a fashion contest, I think just on the variety of art that has depicted Merlin, you might have to give it to Merlin. But this is not purely, about fashion. And of course, Gandalf does get his upgrade in garb when he becomes Gandalf the White and he's more clean and combed.
All right, true. But if we're starting to talk about powers now,
mm-hmm.
we talk about Merlin and it's just like, didn't Merlin imbue the power of Excalibur? Like, wasn't he the one that basically said this thing is going to be magical and this is the prophecy?
Not particularly. That who created Excalibur changes from telling to telling, but Merlin did, in some tellings of the stories, place Excalibur in order to find the true King of England, and that ties into his one of his abilities, which is precognition. He can tell the future.
Okay. So, precognition is just a pretty strong power in general. So,
yes,
that is crazy magic. Another power that I'm going to give Merlin, even though we're stretching it a bit from Arthurian lore, but for any fans of DC, Merlin was the one that bound Jason Blood to Etrigan the Demon.
Yes.
And he can just, he can just create an army of holy demon warriors.
Mm-hmm.
So I gotta say, DC Merlin at least can pull reinforcements from anywhere. And may I say, very strong reinforcements.
That is true. Mm-hmm. And I think you're right. That does give Merlin a large advantage, considering he has been around the longest and pretty much been the most generalized. He's going to have the most abilities on record.
Yeah. So, I mean, what else would Gandalf have other than, I guess, traditional magic powers, knowing spells?
Mm-hmm. Gandalf is very illusory, and especially as Gandalf the Grey, he's very tricksy, and he's described by Tolkien as, quote, an Odinic wanderer, so very akin to Odin, and tricksy, and manipulative, and very illusory. As Gandalf the White, he's more shown in a very combative stance as a sort of protector figure, and so he's, I think, in a hand-to-hand or blade-to-blade contact, sort of a melee scenario, I think Gandalf takes this, considering he has his sword, I believe, named Glamdring of elven make. He's often on the front lines of a lot of the fights of Middle-earth.
I mean, true, Gandalf did fight with a sword, but I'm pretty sure Merlin could fight with a sword, too. Yeah, so I mean, I don't think that really sword skills would come into this. I think that a lot of it just kind of has to do with, and say that Gandalf's sword was stronger, would Gandalf be able to tell exactly what Merlin was going to do?
That's a good point. I think, yeah, the precognition is a really strong point in Merlin's corner.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that powers would go to Merlin. I think being victorious, I think it would be close, but also with the one thing I decided to actually look up about Merlin. Mm-hmm. Apparently a lot of his power comes from his magic fashionable clothing.
Mm.
And it basically makes him able to do whatever he wants as long as he's wearing his clothes.
Right.
I think it would be difficult for Gandalf to cut away his clothing and try to take that power away. Mm-hmm. Especially if, you know, precognition on Merlin's part. So I gotta give this to Merlin.
I think I'm heading in that direction also. I will say before we decide on this right out, I think Merlin might be the one of the only examples on this list of our contestants, the only example that might actually have a defined weakness, which is his lust. In the Arthurian canon, there's often stories of Merlin falling in love with an unreciprocating sorceress, and he pursues romantically this sorceress, and the sorceress tricks him into, you know, playing into this partnership in exchange for Merlin teaching her his magical arts, and she then uses those magical arts to trap Merlin in a tree or underground, depending on which version you read. So, I think this is actually one of the few examples where, if Gandalf can seduce Merlin, that might secure him the win, even though Merlin might see it coming.
I would definitely say that Gandalf has the possibility of seducing Merlin and winning. But I don't think that Gandalf can polymorph. And I definitely think, going by Arthurian legend, we definitely need a woman for Merlin. But I mean, who knows? There are always things in legend that are unwritten.
True. Yeah, I'll agree. I think we agree, and we will give this round to Merlin.
I'm sad to see Gandalf go so soon.
I think we all are.
All right, so who's up next? Let's keep on making these tough decisions.
Well, on this second round, we have our first female contestant in The Wicked Witch of the West versus Dumbledore.
I don't even feel like this one needs to be argued.
Oh, really?
I feel like this is Dumbledore all. I feel like this is Dumbledore all the way. Dumbledore had like what? No, Dumbledore had all three of the Deathly Hallows at one point.
That's true.
And I'm like, doing that, also being the headmaster of Hogwarts and the 100 years probably of magic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what does the Wicked Witch have to offer against that?
I think he makes some strong points for Dumbledore, and he certainly does have a lot of knowledge and material to put into the fight. But I will say, on your point of the Deathly Hallows, it's arguable that Dumbledore wouldn't use all of the Deathly Hallows. We obviously know he is the master of the Elder Wand for a very long time, but when he tried to use the Resurrection Stone, he gives into his guilt because of the deaths of his family, and actually fails to use the Resurrection Stone. And the Invisibility Cloak, I think it's said in Sorcerer's Apprentice, or Philosopher's Apprentice, Sorcerer's Stone, or Philosopher's Stone, that Dumbledore can actually turn invisible without the use of a cloak.
Okay, so I don't even see how that in any way diminishes the argument for Dumbledore. If this man can turn invisible without the cloak, then that makes him just like at least double the strength than I thought he was.
Yeah, that is fair.
I will give one props to the Wicked Witch of the West, though. She does have an army of flying monkeys.
Yes.
So, I mean, if they could gang up on Dumbledore quick enough, she has a chance. But also, the battle couldn't be near any water. Dumbledore can't have the time or the ability to conjure water.
Mm-hmm.
The Wicked Witch of the West has one of the most definable weaknesses in, like, cinematic history. I really don't...
Yeah, that's a solid point.
I really don't see how she could get out of that fight without, like, a stroke of luck from her monkey army.
Mm-hmm.
So I think 95% of the time, I think Dumbledore's got it, if not more.
Yeah, I was banking on the idea if the Wicked Witch would come out in any scenario. I mean, she does have some bit of firepower with her, you know, fire magic and whatever. But I think her heaviest hitter is her army of magic flying monkeys. But I think I gotta give it to Dumbledore also. I think this is a pretty swift end for the Wicked Witch.
Yeah.
Dumbledore's faced way worse evil wizards.
Yeah, Dumbledore's faced way worse wizards, but like, man, if it was Merlin versus the Wicked Witch of the West, who knows if the Wicked Witch of the West would have been attractive enough for Merlin to just fall.
Ooh, you pose a good question. Maybe if one of our female contenders can get to a round with Merlin, maybe that weakness will come into play.
Maybe.
Well, I think I agree. I think we got to give this round to Dumbledore. Pretty solid landslide on the headmaster there. But this is an interesting roundup. Another two sides of the spectrum, but in a different way from Gandalf and Merlin. And this next round, we're going to pick Sorcerer Mickey Mouse from Fantasia and other material versus Tim from Monty Python.
Oh, this is a tough one.
Yes, isn't it? I mean, if we're going on bank accounts, I think Mickey's got this pretty easily.
Yeah, I was going to say, the House of Mouse, I think the Sorcerer Mickey Mouse would just have the money on top of the magic to basically get whatever he needed.
Mm-hmm.
Tim the Sorcerer from Monty Python. I mean, I think we at least have to give him the power as he has holy grenades.
He does. He does have, if not possession, he has knowledge of them and within the vicinity of his lair.
Yeah, okay. But what else? What else can Tim do?
Well, when he's introduced, he can throw fireballs and create distant explosions. And when he first meets King Arthur and the crew, he can teleport.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So we at least know that he can cast fireball.
Yes.
He has holy grenades.
Mm-hmm.
And he can teleport. All right. So that's pretty good.
Yeah. Fairly solid list of abilities. He also exhibits great knowledge in how he knows the location of the evil rabbit.
Yeah, I was gonna say he does know at least all the monsters in the neighborhood. He knew that rabbit was up to trouble.
I think on that note, you might have to give the knowledge category to Tim, because when you first meet Sorcerer Mickey in Fantasia, he causes the whole flooding and animation of the different tools and chores. He does that by accident, and he nearly destroys everything, and his sorcerer boss mentor has to come in and save the day.
Okay, so Sorcerer Mickey is pretty chaotic.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, would you say that he learned enough to, I don't know, be on the level of Tim? Like, did he learn more magical spells? Because all that we know that Tim can do is basically fireball.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we have seen animations since Fantasia where Mickey Mouse has been shown to have an increased mastery of the magic hat and the abilities that come along with it. So there is a clear rising in experience and skill level with Sorcerer Mickey.
Okay, so definitely give him at least a moderate experience level.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely think that if it was like very beginning of Fantasia Sorcerer Mickey,
right,
this would be clearly towards Tim.
Yes, I think I would agree. I think Tim would have it if it's first Fantasia Mickey. I mean, I think Sorcerer Mickey in the first Fantasia film has more power from his hat, but has so little control over it. And I think that's a point that it is the hat that gives him the magic. If Tim can get the hat off of Mickey, Mickey's done for. He only has his bank account and millions of lawyers to defend him.
That is true. But one thing that we, I think, are ignoring is Sorcerer Mickey can just control water.
Mm.
So if we take this by Avatar fight, it's fire against water.
True.
Sorcerer Mickey is going to win every single time, unless Tim can get the hat off.
Yes. I think, I think if Tim can time and aim a key holy hand grenade at the right moment, in the right position, even if it doesn't kill Mickey, it's gonna get the hat off, right?
Yeah. Also, I guess with Tim's teleporting powers,
mm-hmm,
he would have the element of surprise against Sorcerer Mickey.
That's true.
So I think that Sorcerer Mickey overall has more explicit powers,
mm-hmm,
from the hat, and I think he is more powerful than Tim.
Yes.
But I think that more often than not, Tim could pull off the element of surprise and get, mm-hmm, the hat off.
I think you're right. I think this is the first round we've had so far that doesn't specifically come down to pure power and more comes down to strategy.
Yeah, this is definitely the most strategic round.
Mm-hmm.
I think that because Sorcerer Mickey has basically an explicit weakness and how much power he loses without that hat, I definitely think this has to go to Tim the Enchanter.
I think I'd agree. I think Tim might have it with his element of surprise, and he's just one. He just needs one good hit, and then it's all downhill for Mickey.
Dang. I wish Sorcerer Mickey had gone farther.
Yeah, yeah. It's a shame, but when you're up against a wise, horned wizard like Tim, it's a rough battle.
Yep. All right, so now round four.
For our next round and final of the first batch, we have Harry Houdini, our only nonfiction character, versus one you may be less familiar with, most likely, and that being the Red Woman, a.k.a. Melisandre from Game of Thrones and A Song of Ice and Fire.
Okay, so I'm going to automatically be more in favor of Harry Houdini going on to win it all since he is the nonfiction character. But I will put a disclaimer in this. I have never seen Game of Thrones.
Yes.
So
we've covered your sacrilege in previous episodes.
Yeah, so go ahead and tell me about her powers.
Mm-hmm. Well, Melisandre, it's not an immensely distant fight if you really examine it, because Melisandre is mostly human, mostly. She does have magical power, great magical power, and mostly in a support function, but when placed in the right scenario, and again with the right strategy, I think she comes out quite effective. So I think her most well-known power is the raising of the dead. If chosen by her god, she can raise a chosen champion from the dead, though that's not exactly a power that will come into play in a one-on-one death match.
Huh. I mean, raising the dead could come into play in a death match. But, I mean, that would be very specific to, like, if this thing was, like, set up in a cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
Then she may have a chance.
Yeah, true, true. But with more of Melisandre's powers, she can be impregnated by an individual with the blood of a king, and once impregnated, can give birth to a shadow demon.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
Yes.
So, pregnant Melisandre in the middle of a battle, or about to give birth, given Melisandre, could be powerful.
Yes. But it's powerful, it's effective, if she can have the time to give birth in the middle of the fight.
Yeah, which, I mean, I definitely think that Harry Houdini could at least be effective with, like, a 2x4 or something.
Sure, especially true.
Especially if she's in labor. It wouldn't really take any magical powers. But I do want to go ahead and say that even though Harry Houdini is our only nonfiction person, I don't know if you know this about Houdini, but he was in the original Spawn comics.
He was in the Spawn comics. Tell me more.
He was in the original Spawn comics, and there was one point where, what was it saying? I think he actually traveled through time to actually visit Spawn and actually, like, teach him about magic.
Okay, so in this reality, Houdini is a legitimate magical magician.
Yes, he basically has the illusion powers of, like, Loki, and then he can hop through dimensions and can just travel through time.
I see.
So, I mean, even traveling through time and with dimensional travel, I'm not sure how much that could come into a fight as being, like, really clearly useful. Illusion casting, though, could be.
Yeah.
And I think that that's kind of the thing that even going back to real life, magicians just have that sleight of hand. And, like, what kind of sleight of hand stuff could Houdini do just to distract Melisandre and then just, I don't know, take whatever weapon he may have on hand?
Right. I think that does fit in well to Houdini, known as the escape artist. That sort of ability to slip away unnoticed, which, if Melisandre does try go for the angle of sneaking away to give birth to a shadow demon, that, you know, she could be targeting the wrong Houdini.
Maybe. But what other powers does Melisandre have, though?
Well, she is immune to poison, for one. She is seen drinking poison knowingly and having no effect from it.
Okay.
She can, spoilers for the last season of Game of Thrones, she can conduct a prayer that lights a space or an army's weaponry on fire with sort of magical everlasting fire. So if she can like trap Houdini into a small enough area and just circle him in fire, that may be enough. And Melisandre is one of the figures with like the biggest weakness, and it's actually similar to Mickey's weakness in that she wears a sort of choker, a ruby choker, and if you, again, spoilers for Game of Thrones, if you can get the choker off of her, it's actually revealed that the choker keeps her young, and she's actually who knows how old, because when the choker's removed, she's revealed to be just an old, decrepit woman.
Okay. But I mean, a ruby choker would be much harder to get off than, like, a hat. I think you'd really have to get in, like, close to rip that off.
Mm-hmm. But that is another thing about the sleight of hand, in that if he can almost pickpocket the thing off of her without her even noticing, she'll be immensely slowed, she'll be elderly, she'll be vulnerable.
Okay, that is a good point.
Mm-hmm.
But I honestly, my biggest thing, I think we haven't talked about Houdini's weakness yet of, you know, just the one wrong punch to the gut.
Yeah.
And then he died of, what was it, like a ruptured like spleen or something?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'm like, Houdini is human.
Yes, he's certainly the most human on this list.
Yeah, so I guess the biggest question here is, could Houdini get in close enough before Melisandre pulls out, like, weapons?
Mm-hmm.
So does she have any weapons training?
She doesn't carry a weapon. She mostly acts in a support or advisory role throughout the series. And even in when the, you know, the big battle with the army of the undead come, she's in the background not picking up a weapon and just, you know, lighting up the swords of the Dothraki or lighting the flames of the pits to keep out the undead. So she's not really a hand-to-hand combatant. I think if Houdini can get up close and Melisandre doesn't have time to conduct a ritual or anything, I think Houdini's just going to get that choker off and just have an old lady to deal with.
Yeah, I was going to say, how long does it take her to do that, like, fire ritual?
Several seconds. So I would say, like, 30 seconds or less.
I think it takes her, like, more than, like, 10 seconds, though, of being, like, uninterrupted when somebody's just trying to charge you. Honestly, I think that would be hard to focus on.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, even though she really is, like, the real magic user.
Yeah.
I think that sleight of hand would just kind of have to take a win on this one. I mean, if Melisandre had, like, quicker magic abilities, almost like when we think of, like, cantrips for Dungeons & Dragons or something, or really anyone else that could just throw a fireball at whim. If she had anything quicker like that.
Or just a knife.
Or if she used a weapon at all. Yeah. Then I think this would be clearly her win, but the fact that she doesn't use a weapon,
mm-hmm.
I really think that's her downfall on this one. I really think that we have to give it to Houdini just because she doesn't use a weapon.
I think you may be right. This was honestly not the direction I was expecting this round to go in, but I think you may be right.
I really didn't think it was going to go this way either. We've proven this now. Magicians, even if you have your magic, always carry a weapon on you, even if it's a small dagger.
Yeah.
That could be the difference between life or death.
Well, now we've reduced this death match to officially a sausage fest. I hope you're happy.
I really can't believe Harry Houdini made it this far.
It's an inspiration to all of us, honestly.
Yep. If your sleight of hand is strong enough, you can take out some of the mightiest warriors.
I guess you're right. But that concludes the first batch of competitors, and why don't we begin the second match, the second round, with Merlin versus Dumbledore.
Okay, I really think this should be the finals round. Okay, so I really think that this one's a bit tougher, because Merlin and Dumbledore can even each other out mm-hmm. on a lot of abilities. For one, I think that even though Hermione had it as of the third movie, you could say that Dumbledore has a time turner and that Merlin has precognition.
Well, with your point of the time turner, that is an interesting matchup. That is an interesting matchup. And I think, you know, with the time travel versus the time, you know, the ability to see through time, I think I almost don't want to bring up this point because that is an interesting point. But in Order of the Phoenix, it's confirmed that when Dumbledore's army, including Harry and Hermione and Ron and all of them, are running through the Ministry of Magic, all of the Time Turners are actually destroyed.
Wait, what?
Yeah, when the Death Eaters are chasing Harry and Ron and Hermione and the rest through the Ministry of Magic, they run through the sort of a Hall of Time Magic, which is where all of the Time Turners are kept. And during the fighting, all of the Time Turners in the known wizarding world are destroyed.
Was Dumbledore's in this room? Like, how did Dumbledore's Time Turner he gave Hermione, I guess, did it just break as she was running through? How'd that work?
Well, I guess, because they are such powerful magic that you can give to a high schooler, they have to be distributed by the Ministry of Magic. And when Hermione turned in her Time Turner at the end of year 3, it would have gone back to the Ministry.
Okay, then. So that does give Merlin a boost in the precognition area. Mm-hmm. Hmm. What power would Dumbledore have that I guess could level with Merlin?
I think this is probably, after Merlin versus Gandalf, this is probably our highest hitting duo. And I'm trying to think, because again, we mentioned how vague Merlin as a figure has become, and I think you have to analyze how little story Dumbledore has in comparison to Merlin.
That's true. I think that one thing that could impact Dumbledore, which I don't think we really talked about last time,
mm-hmm.
is the point that even we learned it from the Half-Blood Prince and Snape could just disarm Dumbledore.
That's true, yeah.
Is that there is the ability to just disarm a wizard in the Harry Potter universe,
mm-hmm.
so they don't have their wand and magic basically becomes impossible.
Yeah, that is true, but Dumbledore does also have magic, wandless magic.
Okay, so that...
So he's not completely powerless without his wand. He obviously is stripped of his most powerful weapon in the Elder Wand, but he's not powerless. He can still apparate. He can still, we see him dim the lights in the Great Hall in, I think, Goblet of Fire. So that's magic.
Okay, you have a good point there. So he does kind of have some innate magic he can do without the wand.
Mm-hmm. I think, again, going back to either of these two's weaknesses, Dumbledore's biggest weakness is his guilt, in that he blames himself for the death of his sister. So Merlin can cast illusions over people to make them look like someone else. We see this when Merlin helps out King Arthur's father, Uther, by casting an illusion over him to make him look like a different king. Or make him look like a different lord. So he can put on a magical disguise and possibly make himself look like Dumbledore's sister to distract him with the guilt.
Okay. Yeah, I definitely think that Merlin really could just kind of disguise himself and get a lot done.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what else would Dumbledore have of everything that we've seen? I mean, I think he definitely has the greatest amount of magic weapons. You could say that he had the sword.
Yeah.
Sword of Gryffindor.
Sword of Gryffindor, Elder Wand.
He can turn himself invisible.
Yes, he does have access. Ooh, this is an interesting point that might give Dumbledore backup, is he has access to the Quidditch bludgers, which we see in Chamber of Secrets can be hexed or manipulated magically to just go wild and attack a singular target. So if Dumbledore can bring the bludgers and enchant them to attack Merlin, that could give him some backup.
That is a good point, but I mean, I don't know how quickly Merlin could just dispose of those things. I mean, Merlin could just kind of...
You're right, they are mad. They are just rubber balls.
Yeah, I'm like, Merlin can just shoot fire, just blast those out of the sky.
Yeah.
I really... I really think that we've tried to find other things for Dumbledore, but I really think that Dumbledore is so much dependent on items that just there is the sheer ability that if Merlin can in any way kind of just take away a wand or like the sword at any point, it basically becomes, you know, the slimmest chance for Dumbledore to succeed.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we're in agreement. I think this round once again has to go to Merlin.
Man, the OG wizard really is destroying the others in this bracket.
Yeah, yeah. He's certainly showing his experience.
Well, all right. So does this mean our next one is Tim versus Harry Houdini?
That is correct. The next match is Tim the Enchanter versus Harry Houdini.
All right, I'm automatically going to come out on the Harry Houdini side just to mention his sleight of hand skills. But what if...
Really?
What if he just happens to pull all of the holy hand grenades that Tim just has on his person?
Well, I don't think that Tim actually brings the hand grenade himself. I think it's like brought in and blessed by that procession of priests, right? So we can argue if he has his priest homies with him, maybe he has one holy hand grenade, but does he really have multiple cadres of priests with him?
Yeah, I mean, if he was alone, then he probably may not have any with him.
Yeah.
I mean, I think...
And he's already used one of them to take out Mickey.
Yeah. I think it's an easier decision on this one to kind of just go with Tim, because like we said, Melisandre was close. If she just had a weapon from a distance, Tim can cast fireballs.
Yes.
Just in a massive area. How is Houdini going to escape that?
I mean, again, he's the escape artist. He's nimble. He's jumpy. And it is shown that Tim has to point at the direction where the fireball is going. So if Houdini can act quick enough, maybe he can get out of the radius of the fireball.
Just he can zigzag insanely fast and make his way to Tim.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Fireballs have like a big area, and it's just kind of like the line of attack. He still has a really big chance of getting hit.
Yeah. And all Tim has to do is just teleport somewhere where Houdini doesn't have an immediate eye on him and fireball from the back.
Yeah, and also with the point of Tim teleporting, it could also just be a war of attrition since Houdini is human and he'll have to run everywhere and he just waits for Houdini to run out of air.
Yeah.
So, Houdini, it's been great to see you at least make it to the second round, but sadly you're missing the definitive wizard trait, which is fireball.
Yes. I'm kind of sad. I was kind of rooting for Houdini after he won versus Melisandre.
I was really rooting for Houdini, too.
I thought it was going to be so interesting to see Houdini versus Merlin.
That would have been a great one.
But I'm fine with Tim going with it. I mean, Merlin, the Arthurian wizard, versus Tim from Monty Python and the Holy Grail. It's poetry, Cole.
Look, I'm glad that we got it down to two medieval wizards in the end. I think that's fitting because they could have been around in the same time period.
Yeah.
Also, they both served King Arthur.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Man, on the point of who served King Arthur better?
Well, Merlin. It's definitely Merlin.
See, I was going to say Tim the Enchanter because he told Arthur, hey, that bunny's a monster. Stay away. And then Arthur didn't. And then knights died.
That's true. But something about the Arthurian myth when you're talking about Merlin, I think Tim might have actually had an easier time of it. Because if you look at Arthurian myth, the Arthur from Monty Python might actually be smarter and easier to mentor than the actual Arthur.
That is very true. That Arthur from Monty Python, I think, did actually listen to people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, like, if you look at a lot of Arthurian myths, Arthur is just constantly arguing against what Merlin says and not wanting to do it. And, like, it's a long story about him maturing as a king and becoming the true king of England. And so that really does give praise to, like, how much crap Merlin put up with while mentoring him.
Yeah, so we can agree that Tim probably had an easier job if he ever had to mentor Monty Python Arthur than Merlin, you know, mentoring actual Arthur.
Yeah.
But I mean, getting back to the essence of a fight,
mm-hmm.
I really think that Merlin is the most powerful wizard in this bracket.
Yeah.
Especially because he would be the original. I really think that just Merlin has too many abilities to make him on par with, like, anything that we see in, like, Harry Potter or Middle Earth or, like, anything like that. I mean, I think you'd have to put Merlin up against the literal devil,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, something of that, like, immense power.
I mean, we kind of did when he fought Gandalf. Like, Gandalf, an almost a literal angel, and Merlin still came out on top.
Yeah. Yeah, you have a good point. I think the only thing that could bring this to Tim's side, and it's up to you to decide this,
mm-hmm.
I definitely think that Tim's, like, horns on the cap give him a slight edge in how attractive he is compared to Gandalf. So maybe Tim has the ability to seduce Merlin.
Oh, interesting. You think Merlin's into ladies with beards? Long gray beards?
Huh. I don't know. I think maybe if Merlin didn't have a beard, but I think beard on beard, I think that would be kind of a turn off for Merlin.
Yeah.
So I think it's pretty clear. Our ultimate champion out of this weekly deathmatch Wizards Edition is the OG wizard, the man of Arthurian legend, Merlin.
I think you're right.
Man, well, I definitely think we need to do this again. Almost, you know, have Merlin in another bracket with more wizards. Because I gotta say, across other books, you know, comics and anything, there's a lot more wizards that I think could give Merlin a run for his money.
Probably so. Probably. We could pit Arthurian Merlin against Merlin from the Merlin TV show.
Would that be that fair of a fight, though?
I have no idea. I've never seen the show.
Ah. See, that's a travesty.
Probably.
Well, guys, thanks for listening this week. It has been a fun time deciding who the ultimate warrior among the magicians is, and hope to do it again, whether it's with superheroes, other magic users, video game sports players.
Yes.
Really anything. I think you can pit anyone and anything in a deathmatch, so...
Yeah, and did we miss anything? Did we miss any weaknesses, any strengths that would have put one over the edge of the other? Let us know.
All right, guys. Well, this has been Unquestionably Nerdy. My name is Cole Browning.
And my name is Kata MacArthur.
You've just watched this podcast. Go out there and be unquestionably nerdy. See you guys later.
Goodbye.